All right, we got some people going crazy with background volume, but that's perfect, I guess. We'll
kill it. How do I mute this? Oh, there.
Thanks so much. Yeah, if you're where are we? Here we are. Gosh, good to see everybody. Nice to see you guys. All right. Hey, Greg, I just listened to an awesome call with you, man. That was I'm going to leave that up to you whether you want to share it with the group. It was so damn good, but it was just great in a lot of ways. So I'll
I'm cool sharing it. Just
don't judge. Oh my gosh. Wow, what a gift, you guys. That man there in the collared reddish shirt is offering you something that's really cool. It's a how long was that? About 30 minutes?
It was like 20 some minutes.
20, okay.
23 minutes.
Yeah, so good. But he just had a call with a prospect, and boy, that it went the gamut from conversational to creative to him pitching some crappy price and Greg just brilliantly shutting the hell up. It was so good, man. It was really, it was a good model, and he recorded it so I could hear it, which was really so good. So he'll share it with you guys, and I will post that up on the post that out on the portal somewhere there. Let's see. Hans, you're all right? You're not in a hospital, are you? Just looks like you're in a hospital bed.
No, I'm just you know, like 10-hour clip show thing.
Okay. So okay, cool. We'll make sure we weren't catching like a broken collarbone or something. Barely able to move. Well, good, you guys. It was a awesome week. I love reading what's going on in the group. Is that James there? No, who's that? Oh, I'm sorry. No, I'm too far away from my monitor. Darn. Ah, Victor, good to see you, man. You look like an alumni who got in. Cool. It was a big week. Just a lot of growth going on. And thank you so much for all the amazing videos and lives and comments, the interaction on the group. I can't tell you what an honor it is to get to sit and watch that. I know this week we covered, didn't get the gig funnel. We got to hear an interview with a life-changing guy, Bill Lamond, who he's been under my skin for maybe 10 years now. And whenever I get stuck on something, whenever I am afraid to do something, it's always about something that needs to be completed. And all those stray bits on the hard drive up here, put into a place and deleted and installed with the new belief. So I hope that'll become a part of your life. That would be a huge takeaway. And then we got into the masterful work on the phone. You know what we get to conquer, and then Greg demoed so well. So I'm excited to share that. I'll put it on the Facebook group for you guys to hear later. Just an MP.
I mean, I do want to say in fairness that the guy I was talking to made it very easy for me because he basically answered all the questions that I would have had to ask without me having to ask them. So.
Right. And, you know, it's interesting. I'll put some comments about that call when I posted, but it came from an introduction. So you'd never talked to him. It was just someone who had introduced, said, here, talk to this guy, which, you know, it's not quite a cold call, but really there's so many good lessons in that about what, that you did, you know, how to hold the space for him to tell his stories and just do little tiny prompts and stay out of the way for the most part. So it was solid. Hey, Desi, good to see you, man. Cool. Desi's there. We got to have dinner in Arizona last week. That was so awesome, man. Touring around and bumping into who I can on the way. Good. So let me run through just a couple things here on a screen share. This is the module 2. You guys went through this. The homework, I just wanted to point out one thing. I hope you saw down at the bottom here, there's a conversational call that I went through and notated the heck out of. I kind of talked about what was going on, what you want to do. And a lot like Greg's call that he just had and then we'll share is, you know, it's leaving space for people to answer questions and to talk about their event. And that was just one thing you really held that space for him well. So people love to talk about events. And even in this conversation there was with Greg, the money came up, you know, it was like the last thing. It was like this thing, oh, let me talk to you about this. And I guarantee you, Greg, he threw out a number of half of what he's got guaranteed. That's not the number they're looking to spend on this thing. He's a smart guy.
Yeah, you know? he seemed to know that it was a shitty number for the type of event that it was. I mean, it was like,
yeah,
he even said it.
Yeah, and your great thing was, you know, yeah, if this was right down the street from my house and it was tomorrow night, that would be great. I'd run over and do it for you. Yeah. But there's a lot to get from that one, and we're gonna word a reply, and I'll do all of this on the group, so you'll get to see actually how to reply.
Oh, cool!
To that,
yeah. Great.
That crappy offer.
I sent him an email today with a link, or last night, because I've told him I'd send him a link before I got back to him about, you know, the money. And his name is Michelangelo. So there's this really kind of this guy in Brooklyn named his tattoo artist. He's pretty well known, and his name Tattoos by Michelangelo. And I meant to bring it up on the phone call, and I didn't. So in the email, I wrote to him, "Oh, also, I meant to bring this up, but forgot. You should check this guy out." And he responded to that in particular. Thanks for the tattoo. Thanks for you sending me the link to the tattoo guy. I thought it was hilarious. So.
Yeah, good. You guys definitely connected beyond the scope of the gig, which is, you know, that's so important. Whether this one works out or not, you're going to get out of it with your dignity intact, probably with a great gig and some future work with the guy. But this is the time to hang on and not define yourself by a crappy number.
Right.
So yeah, I was interested to see how that was going to come up in that conversation. It was really good. So let me say a couple things about let me take them in opposite order. Actually, we talked about that. I presented them in the lesson. We talked about the conversational cold calling, and it's such a different paradigm. What came up for you guys when you are listening to that? How different is that from your conversations? How much alike? Anyone just jump in and let's kind of hear where people are at with phones.
I'll go.
Please.
It was totally new for me because I've pretty much never called people ever for anything I do. I always do busking festivals, which is an application and an email.
Totally.
I tried doing the fair market and did like 10 cold calls before I knew anything. And so it was just totally different than anything I'm used to, which was great.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, for the markets you've been working, Sarah, you don't need to, there wasn't a lot of phone work involved. You know, usually when you talk to people, it's when you get there the first time or...
when I meet them, basically.
Yeah, but you know, where you're heading, what you're starting to look at is going to be a little bit more of that, you know, as you start to talk about conferences and meet people. Yeah, some of the initial introductions could be through friends or even like Greg had, you know, where someone recommends you both. But, you know, how you show up on those phone calls, how you serve, how you leave space for them to talk, how you honor what they're saying, use their words back to them. That's how you're going to be treated when you're there in person. So good. Thanks for sharing that.
I'm in the same boat and I don't do festivals. I've never done a festival, but I guess I've tried to avoid the phone when I can.
Yeah.
Who was
that's John. I'm sorry, John. Yeah, I couldn't see. Yeah, cool.
So I try to avoid the phone. I never have initiated a phone call, but if they call me, then I'll return the call and stammer through it.
Wow. Awesome. Wow. What a thing to hear. Yeah. How are gigs booked for you? Let me ask you that, John. I mean, if you're working private shows, are they all over email? Inbound inquiries over email?
Inbound inquiries over Thumbtack, a few over Gigmasters, mostly Thumbtack, and then eventually it gets to email.
Wow. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's funny just hearing that. Like, there's a certain level of gig, and that can probably all be done that way. The festivals, things that come in through these services, the gig salads, Thumbtacks, whatever. I mean, people use those for that. And there's a ceiling on those. Where I want everyone here to be heading, where I want you guys to show up for, how I want you to show up for your clients, it involves a relationship, and we'll. You'll see. It's amazing what happens when you go from these Thumbtack gigs into something where there's a relationship. The number changes, the way you're treated changes, the way the audience dresses changes, the temperature of the room changes, everything. The stage is a little bit nicer. So that's where it's best to play in. And I think every market that you guys are all looking to step into, there's an element. So listen to this part again, you know, listen to the demos I put out. I have some more that I'm going to be releasing here over the next couple of days, and I'll insert them throughout the 10 weeks. But there's just always this the conversations we have with people define the relationships we have with them. And those relationships define the professional relationship we have with them. So I'm going to...
I had one where I was making phone calls. Hi, everybody.
Hey, Dan.
Hey, I picked up the phone this morning and started calling people who were the low-hanging fruit, and I immediately slipped into old habits, even though I had written out the script. Hi, I was wondering if you are grappling with how to, and then I filled in the blank, find quality entertainers for your lounge, find quality entertainers that will appeal to all of your members. And it's amazing how fast, in order to get through the gatekeeper, I just kicked into my old habits and my old instincts. So, you know, you say this is a right off the shelf line. I'm kind of rushing through it. You know, I got to reprogram, man.
Gotcha. How long you've been performing? A long time.
Yeah, pretty much straight out of high school. So going on 40 years now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Be patient with yourself. And, you know, hey, Judy, be patient with yourself and do the, be kind to yourself. You know what? Do completions about how phone calls in the past have worked for you. Just run those things. I tell you, I can do a completion while I'm standing, while I'm walking from my house to the car. I mean, it's that quick. It's just bullet point, bullet point, bullet point. And before I know it, the undoing starts happening. But it's hard to force things. So, yeah, good
thing. Can I ask a question? Because I'm a little bit behind because I was out of town and I'm just getting back into the swing of things. And I didn't get all the way to the end of the module. So is that where you discussed making cold calls?
Yes, that is the end of that's the third part of module two. So you'll get to it.
Okay. All right. I'll listen to it right after this.
And for you, younger whippersnapper dudes who like everything faster, down here, there's this little gear wheel. Kick this thing to 2.0 or 1.5. I'd rather have you listen to this thing 3 times at 2.0 speed and just like let it keep sinking into the brain. You know, if that's the way information comes to you better. I certainly do that, but kick that up and just, you know, jam through it. A 40-minute module or 47-minute happened 22 minutes real quick. So,
hey, Barry. Hey, Barry, I got a question for you. Hey, this is a different way of handling of cold call, definitely. I have some scripts and I've had some things that have worked, but the real problem for me, my business at one point was everybody calling me, and it's shifted now to, you know, nobody answering the phones, it seems like, anymore with the people that I tend to work with. Mm. And most of my inquiries come through email. So I'm kind of in this quandary right now trying to figure out, you know, how you get someone on the phone.
How you get them on the phone.
So, oh, we got a little feedback. Okay. Yeah.
So that's kind of a question. I had somebody that was referred to me a couple of days ago. She sent me an email. And in email, I basically used what your script had said. You know, I said, hey, you know, there's a lot of things to, you know, to understand about your event. You know, I'd love to get to meet you and discuss, you know, what your needs are. And the genius of it is great. It's like, if I'm the right guy for you, great. If not, I'll refer you to other people that,
yep,
that will help you. Well, I run an agency. So that's another plus for me, whether they book me or not, but that sort of is disarming. So I said, can we hop on the phone for 5 to 10 minutes and discuss, you know, your thing, or Skype? I actually said, cause I would rather even meet somebody face to face. But she said, I really prefer the phone, but let's talk at, you know, I gave her a window of time. So tomorrow we're going to chat. But when calling people, like I have found lists or people that are event planners, for instance, just trying to get them, everybody's message seems to go to email. I mean, to voicemail. Yep. And, you know, if they don't need you something from you, they don't answer, you know? And so you know, I don't know if anybody else has that problem, but I'm just bringing it up. That's something that I
remember. Everyone does, yeah. You know, how to leave voicemails. I mean, I'm writing tasty email voicemails here, but short, to the point, use the grappling line. You know, my name's Bobby Medina. I'm wondering if you're grappling on what to do for this upcoming 50th anniversary. It's going to be a big event for your association, for your club, whatever they, your company, whoever they are. Love to talk to you about it and see what I could bring to it. And that's literally it. Just do some little tasty bit and know that in this world, one touch point is nothing. It doesn't even count anymore. You know, that used to mean something, but really, I mean, we're in the 5 to 7 touch point now. The only thing that'll ever stop someone from getting to 5 to 7 touch points is ego. You know, that's your ego. And once you can get over that and just not worry about that, 5 to 7 touch points is really easy. Hey, I'm just checking in again. I did this anniversary party for a group last month, and it completely reminds me of what I'm seeing on the website about your upcoming event. Go for it. You know, this is the place in Showbiz Blueprint every year where people think, like, you know, it has to be a texting world. It has to be an email world and inbound only. Yes. And I'll tell you, if your ratio of people who are in your life and the ones who get you money can go from 90 to be a 95-5 ratio, 5% of the people are responsible for 95% of your income. That is a huge success rate. And you do this through connections. So don't let your ego ever stop you from hitting 5 to 7 touch points with someone. If they're a new contact, doesn't matter. You know, now we also have other ways, and we're going to dig into this hard, but you know, one of these can be LinkedIn. You can tag them. You can, you know, tag them in a Twitter post. Just keep showing up. You know, email. And all you need to do is just touch back that you want to connect on their upcoming event. Have this mindset, Bobby and everyone, that you care about the success of their event more than they do. You never have to say that, but if you come from that place, it comes through. Yeah.
Barry?
Yep.
Barry, this is Victor. So I do have a question for you. As I'm trying to build a list at this point, I'm trying to make connections in magic. My community where I live has a Facebook page for the community. And 2 years, I've been doing it my way for free for the families. And this past year, I had like 150 people on my driveway on Halloween. So I'm wondering, can I do something on our community Facebook page saying something like, for your next special event or for special birthday parties or whatever it is over the summer, consider me or thinking about me. What's the right way to say it without saying too much at the same time saying that, you know, you're going to hire me, not do this for free.
Right. Interesting. I mean, none of the people in that community events page probably even know you as a magician, I imagine.
They actually kind of do, only because they've seen me now for a couple of years do it. So they kind of know me as a magician in the community. So using that, I'm thinking maybe I can go out and explore that as a way of communication to the community to consider me when events are coming up. But I guess what I don't know is the right wording to say in something like that. Yeah. You know, for birthday parties, for special events, for graduations, make it special. I don't know. What would be the right wording without saying too much, but also saying enough?
Yeah. So the best thing to do is, I've just written an article, and this is everyone on here. Believe me, this is not if you're posting on a community Facebook page. This is anybody. The best thing we can do is a post that hints at a solution. You know, this is it. Hints at a solution to something, a problem they may be having. And then lead this to an article. You have to put this either on a blog or a website. I'm trying to think where else you could put that, Victor. I'm not sure if you have a blog or website on your somewhere to publish some. But you must have, I mean, on your website, you can even make a page. This can even be a page on your website that isn't in the navigation.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone know what I mean by that? Non-navigation, so it's not up here on the top of your...
This is an article that we've written, or an
yeah,
article...
Yeah, this is an article that you'll write. So, I mean, right here, there's all these navs on top, but there's a ton of pages on this website that aren't on this navigation, and I can just send people directly to those. So you can do those on your website. But really what you want to do is put a post on that community page that just hints at a solution, you know, upcoming wedding, party, bar mitzvah, any event. Magic is the great... magic is magic. You know, I just kind of play with that idea. Magic is magic. And then just put a link to this. So this sends them over to that article on your website. This is a little more advanced. Has anyone ever done any Facebook advertising or retargeting? Anyone done anything? Yep. Okay. Ian's doing some of that. Hans is doing some. Yep. Okay. Yep. And I know Evan's doing some. So on this page, you can put a very simple little piece of code, and I have an expert coming on who's going to teach us all about this, but you put a pixel on there. And next time those people are on Facebook, believe it or not, guess what they see? They can see a really cool ad from you. Only those people. And you just, this is an engagement ad. I do engagement ads right now. They're 1 cent or 2 cent for engagement. So anyone who comes to my 30-day sugar-free page, anywhere on my website, they get this pixel, they go to Facebook, they start seeing this ad, they get driven to that. So this is something we can do, but really for your first part of it, Victor, get a post on there, play with a short little post. I mean, you know, posts that are readable on that page, you can see them. They're a kind of fun heading, and just, you may even want to do if there's no videos on that post.
What would you say, just so that they would, if you know it's for pay, like to hire you not to do something for free, do you have to use any special words for that? You know, consider to hire me, or what would you say, just so they know it's not a free show per se?
Yeah, I don't know who in the world would think you're going to come to a free show for them. That probably, yeah, I wouldn't think that's a default. The default for me is that there's going to be a payment when you have someone come do something for you.
Okay. How about mentioning something like try to book as soon as you can because the dates are filling up fast?
Great idea.
Yeah, scarcity is always good. Yeah.
I also like using the word premium. I say I'm a premium act. That lets them know that we're upper echelon, or that we're not cheap.
or even if you just use the word professional, that lets them know.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Designer.
Boutique, you can be really expensive. I heard that. I heard that when we come up with your phone call sometimes. That means that's a nice word for expensive hotel. That's and then he comes with a crappy offer. That was just classic. I love that.
Bespoke,
right? That's very British, isn't it? Is that
bespoke?
Good.
I like saying not schlocky.
You know, I don't know. To jump in for a minute, but I think we're much more cognizant and conscious of price than a lot of the people that are looking to book us or thinking about it. I think if you go in and you just said, you know, here's a video of me doing a trick at this event, I don't think you'd have to tell them, hey, I'm getting paid, or this was free, or whatever else. If they see the video and they see you at the event and they like what you did, I think they're more interested in finding out more about that.
Yep.
I don't know that folks necessarily automatically assume that you're free or that you don't charge. If they do, they'll be able to do it quickly, but even then, folks watching your video and contacting you, they think it's true. You don't know what that can lead to.
So, hey, so Victor, is the animal okay? Probably fine, right? We have to assume that the animal's okay? Yeah. Hey, David, good to see you. Victor, one of the posts you can do, you know, and I don't know how this community board takes towards things that may be considered commercial. Some boards are all against that. So that may be something to look at. But in that article where you send them, have, you know, maybe a quick video, certainly some pictures, and then just bullet point it, you know, let people know what they're going to get, bringing magic to an event.
Okay.
You know, how you'd use it, locations, if they know somebody, if they, you know, want to share this with somebody. Good.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's a really good, really good. And you know what Victor's doing? He's looking at all the resources available to him. I mean, I think that's fantastic. If you have something that's, you know, in industry specific or neighborhood, regional specific, if you get a chance to do a podcast that plays really big in a certain area, you know, you're like on a Phoenix events podcast. Talk about what you do in Phoenix. I mean, that's fantastic. That's where your audience is.
Hey, Barry.
Yep.
Could you give an example of, I know you were saying the article should hint to a solution, but it's not all about him, correct? Or is it, like, what would the title of the article possibly be?
Yeah.
Or?
So it's completely not about him. If you're making, if you've got noise in your background, if you could hit mute, that'd be great. *6 on the phone, or just hit the mute button on your little video picture there. Let me bring up a screen here. We'll just write one.
The reason I asked that is because you were saying, you know, include pictures from the events and things like that. So I was just curious, you know, what kind of pictures and,
yeah, so,
and all of that. So
yeah, let me just do this post. And I'm going to call this article really a case study more than you're going to kind of talk about what happened.
There's a dog that needs to be muted.
Yeah, who's the dog? Who's got the dog off the mute?
Is that me? Are you guys hearing me?
Yes.
We're hearing a dog.
Okay. All right. Hang on. Let me try to figure out. I'm not.
There you go.
Oops.
Not sure who that was, but there we go. Good. So magic is well magic. I mean, if you did this on that on a board on somewhere and just put something here. Something like this. And then the article. Yeah, I'm gonna, you're gonna see a great example here of not overthinking. I wouldn't overthink this at all. So think of this more as a case study. And even if this is for a party, Victor, even if you're doing this just for a party, I'll put these notes on our page, by the way, so you guys will have these. But you know, if the article was a party, you know, and there was 50 people there, So here's what we think about these things. What was it like in the past? What happened? So. Call to action. So this would be a no problem flow, and I would completely aim to keep this readable at under 800 words.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, great. So Tim, tell me what you were, is that an answer to what you were saying?
Yeah, so this is, he would write a case study about a past gig that he did.
Yep. Oh man, you can do these in your market. I mean, every single day of the week, you could have one of these crank out onto your, you have a fan page, right?
Yeah, you talking about for schools or for
school,
corporate?
For churches, I mean, anything you're doing?
Yeah, oh, for sure, yeah.
And I would have one of these go out a couple times a week at least. You know, you can do posts if you ever feel extremely creative and you're in a good mood and writing some of these things. You can schedule posts on your page and just have them go out at a time when your audience is. And Facebook is quirky. Like, don't put something great out at 1 a.m. That first hour, the first 30 minutes, 60 minutes. How much interaction that gets depends on how much Facebook shows it. So post it at times when your people are up. Like my sugar-free people, they're up early in the morning getting kids out of the house. So, you know, I try to get them around 8:30 or 9. I'll see things start reacting and liking. So,
yeah. And on my website, you know, I can have a news update and then share that to Facebook. Like, what do you think, one way is better than another? Like, so then if they click it, they're reading it on my website, or do you think one way is better than another?
Native content on Facebook is always best, and then just have a link to your website in the post. You get the best of both worlds. And you know, if you put a link to something like that, kill the preview of it if you want people to read the post. You know, maybe that's too complicated. Let me see. Let me give it.
Hey, Barry.
Yep.
I don't want to get ahead of things here, but I just saw something early this morning, and it was basically somebody suggesting something similar, but leading to he called it explainer videos on your website in lieu of an article where you just, I guess, are sitting there talking about whatever that might be.
Yeah, talking about it, or I just got this one made for a client. It's yeah. I'll Yeah, I'll show you that in a second. We'll come back to that. But if I'm going to post something here, let me just find a health article here. Fatburningman.com. If I want to post an article or you want to post something, Tim, just like off your page here, let's come here, grab this one. I'll grab this link here. Copy. I'm so sorry. I didn't have that on. I'm on Facebook and I came to my 30-day sugar-free page. And if I want to post it, you do this on your page. This is shake up that belly. I didn't even look at what the article is, so I won't post this. But and then I stick the URL here of the article. So you're going to do that. Kill this preview here. Just hit the little X there, and leave just the link here. If you want people to read your post. If you're just trying to drive them off Facebook onto your website, leave that there. But really, if you're going to build a following here and you want to get this and get this shared, don't have your big colorful banner and all that there. Okay. And same thing for you, Victor, when you're doing your Facebook thing. Mm-hmm. If you're going to send them over to an article, another link on your website, don't have the big, the stuff that gets put here automatically on.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Good.
Harry?
Make sure I don't post that.
I just want to note that, like, also sometimes I upload a picture of what I want right there, like a graphic or something that I put there, and then I put the link so that the graphic isn't automatic. It's what I desire to share.
Exactly. So you'll have a chance to, yeah, exactly what Don's saying there. When I put this up, it tries to populate it with what they grabbed from the website. Stick your own picture in there. You know, control how your stuff shows up there. You can do that with these little camera icons down here.
So you're saying the preview, maybe they'll see too much and then not want to click through because you're giving away the farm too early.
Yeah, and the preview brands whoever the website's from, and you know, it's giving it away too early. You know, get them to share that post, to read that post, to engage on that, and not make it a.
Also, photos drive more engagement.
Sure do, man. Control with it. Do what Don's saying though. Put the photo there that you actually want there. You know, maybe you holding a. Victor, I'm going to go back to your example since you gave it so early, you know, just some kind of cool sign, you know, I don't know what area you're in, but whatever, you know, Studio City Magician for Hire, you know, just some kind of fun sign like that, that you can even hold it, just make somewhere.
Okay.
That's fun.
Videos are great, man. There's really, I mean, we can't deny the power of video. I mean, it's what we use to sell ourselves, but if there was, you know, if you were going to do something like this, Victor, rip out this quick, you can get this video made on Fiverr for $5. You would just write the script.
Okay.
What if you did something about, you know, like this? Oh, I'm sorry. Long pauses at the beginning of calls and uneducated script regurgitation became a thing of the past. Loop is the call center for support. Yeah, so way off track of what we're doing, but it's a client I'm doing some consulting with. We had this little video made for him, and oh my gosh, you know, it's a.
Okay, cool. Thank
you. We need to introduce ourselves to people in really creative ways right now, and the more.
What's something like that called on Fiverr? Like word art
explainer
video?
Explainer video or kinetic text? Let's see.
So, Barry, just to be clear, if for instance, you know, if I wanted to talk about a party I did over the holidays where I created something specific for a client, you would just kind of write an article and explain what you did so that another potential client could see how you solved the problem for them or something.
You're going to want to do some version of a case study where you tell them kind of what the problem was, what they've done in the past, what happened that night, and what was the result. So
right.
Those four easy steps. And if you have a place, on your blog to put that? I'm not picturing your website except for that.
No, I don't really do that at this point, but.
Okay, so
my site's ready for a redesign, so I'm, you know.
Yeah. What's your website at, Craig? I know it's under?
Dubin Magic.
Dubin Magic, right. Yeah. Yeah, but easy enough to have one on this site that that isn't part of your credit here that you could send someone directly to and just a little bit of a case study. And yeah, real powerful to get that done. Yeah, I remembered more than anything this video that was playing in the background. This is the video that guy loved because his show's kind of the old smoky
right.
Frank Sinatra thing. Yeah, I'm sure it spoke to him really well.
Hey, Barry, can I ask a question?
Please.
If there's hey, I'm listening to everybody give their examples on this and that. In my case, being a stand-up comic, working cruise ships the last 17 years, not having any clients, always had an agent, how do I go about cold calling a potential corporation event when you don't know if there's an event?
Yep. So we did a little of this last week, but let me run through this for you, Michael, here. In fact, I'm going to challenge you to do one of these this week, man. I'm going to challenge you to hit the bottom, cry, fail, have someone yell at you. I don't even care what the outcome is. Doesn't matter. But to go over to Google, type annual conference 2018 Atlanta. Find one of these that's happening, you know, no sooner than September. And I want you just to look at it. I want you just to kind of say, what's going on at this? Where's my glasses? Hold on a second. Sorry, guys. I'm going to grab some glasses so I can see what you're all seeing. Oh, my God. It's Google. Okay. Look at this one, man. What's this? What is this? AAHO? I don't even know what they are, but let's look at this for a second. Oh, wow. That went to a YouTube video. American
Academy. Real quick, when we watch the watch the replay, we won't I don't think we can see your screen big. So what you just typed into Google.
Oh, okay, thanks for that, John. Yeah. So I'm typing Atlanta Conference 2018. Annual Conference 2018 Atlanta.
Okay. Thanks.
You know, would it be helpful, you guys? There is a link to the full screen of mine. I'm happy to I can post both.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That would be helpful.
Oh, my gosh. No problem.
For the replay, I would think the speakers, if we just had a speaker screen, that whoever's speaking or your screen would be great.
Oh, yeah. I will just put that up. That's perfect.
It'd be great.
Jeez, it's only taken me a couple of years.
Hey, Barry, and you mentioned no sooner than September. Is that just to make sure that you have enough lead time? Because that's like 5-6 months.
And this is really for Michael, who's, you know, he's going to be a little slower, man. He's been 17 years, you know, having people – you know, hand them gigs, say, here, get on the plane at this time, you know, do this. It's a big deal. It's a big change. So, yeah, I want to give you some lead time and I want to be able to work with you on it when you see something. I want you to say, Barry, here's what I want. Let's get into these things. And honestly, the only thing I'm going to say is let's get in touch with the right person and let's get a no from them. Let's just do it. You know, if we go at it that way, we got our success line set where we can do it.
This is on my list of questions for this week because I felt a little bit like Michael, like, all right, I did some brainstorming. I figured out some areas that overlap. And then I looked at that link that listed all the conventions. And then I was like, all right, now what the hell do I do?
Perfect. Perfect. So,
hey, Barry.
Hold on one second. Write down that question, would you? If you're going to go in a new direction, write it down. If not, go ahead.
And as I say, I used Upwork last week to find all the payment industry stuff, and I got a list of like 50 of them already. And it costs like, I think I spent like $12.
Yep.
And I have this giant list of all the people to contact, everything.
Joshua. So
phone numbers. Man. It's great.
Dude, so
I love
good,
it.
Man.
Yeah.
Ah.
I just did exactly what you said. I just said, this is what I want. That showed them. And then it sent it off, and they filled up my Google Doc. It was fantastic.
Oh, my gosh, Joshua. Thank you so much.
What is that?
So what did you ask? How did you tell them what you wanted them to find? Like the title of the person?
Yes. So I went and I wanted payment conferences in the USA. So I did like a little screen share of what I want them to search for. And then I asked them for the event name, the contact name, the location, the dates, the phone numbers, if they had a contact form in their website, and they filled all that information out.
And who did you contact for this?
It was Upwork. It's a, it's what Barry mentioned last time. It's UP, Upwork.
Okay, thank you.
Did you use that meeting site that he told us about last week or a different site?
Yeah, it's a site that Barry talked about last week.
Who was the name that you used? Or the number?
her first name?
I'd have to get it. It was a group of people because they run a little group. But I'll give you the name. I'll put it. Yeah, I forget who it was. But once you post a job on there with the stuff, you get a whole bunch of different people, and you can actually go through and read which ones have the expertise in the different areas like that you want. And some person has like they put samples, so I can actually pick who I wanted based on their samples.
And they were what, virtual assistants?
Look up research.
Yes.
Online research. It's all you need to look up.
Hey Barry.
How do they don't really need to be experts here though. They're just Google.
Yeah, they're just Google searching. Yeah. They're just doing all the
legwork. They're just building a spreadsheet for you. That's all.
But you definitely want to be careful. Like last week I did the same thing and I had a little bit less success with it. But I think there was some limited language proficiency issues with the guy that I got. But you know, he did his honest best with it, and I still got value out of it. But I'd be choosing someone else who has a little bit more of the skill set that you need for this, because there's a lot of like searching and specific language, especially when you're looking for contacts and stuff.
Thomas, did you make a screen capture video showing them what you want?
Yeah, so awesome. I made the screen capture, sent it to him. He gave me back. He was like, "Okay, I'm gonna work on it for an hour and send it back to you for critique."
Awesome. Yep.
And then it really wasn't what I was looking for, so I did another screen capture, 2-3 minute video, probably 3 minute, and sent it back to him, just critiquing, going over awesome. What I would have done differently.
Yep.
Hey Barry, since we're talking about those meetings, I was watching your Get More Corporate Gigs things on associations. And there was the site that you really liked. I think it was called Weedle.
Yeah, Weddles. Dang it. Yeah,
it's gone.
It's not, yep, they're not using it anymore.
I searched and searched trying to find another site for associations. Is there any association site or?
You know, there's nothing as good as that was. That was like plug in the city. I mean, it's funny when that all died, that was when I really started just going to the other way and look at using Google and specifically the images, the image banners, these kind of
events
things.
Events in America.
Yeah, there is Events in America.
That looks cool.
Yep, there is that. Nothing 10 was times.
Because I think that one, that the other one is mostly trade shows, not association.
Yep, that was yeah. There are quite a few for trade shows. Which
I was just great, on Weedles or Weddles.
Which is a good market. All right, let me get back to this for a second and just help Michael look through something, because this will help everybody. Let me make this a little bit bigger for you guys here. So this is the event coming up, Michael. This is perfect timing. Inclusive economic development. You know, your job is to get on here.
Michael's okay. Still here. Yeah, I'm still here.
There he is, yeah.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah, jump in here. Find out about what this is going on. Oh God, I'm so sorry. Look for, if I don't ever have my screen on, I'm talking to my screen, guys, let me know. But look for the dots, you know, that are in your life, something in your past, some of your history. I mean, you got a rich history. You've shared a lot of it with me. And then is there a place where that connects, where you'd be a perfect match for this situation? So you see this thing's coming up right in your town. Inclusive economic development. You don't need to be a speaker on this thing. And this is their conference. Now let me just peek. I'm looking at this one a little bit new here. Okay. I don't see Stay Connected, sponsorship and exhibiting. Let's just take a look. Really what I'm looking for right now is finding a place, okay, so here's somebody to be in touch with. She's responsible for sponsorship.
Okay.
And there's probably just a regular call for speakers on here, which is not exactly what you're looking for. But, you know, you're probably looking more for an MC situation or an opening keynote, a general session opener where you can come out and do something to wake up the event. So unless you're really in an academic and, you know, in this industry, you're not looking to just fill out a request for speakers.
Okay.
Oh, here we go. This is what I actually
want. Well, the other thing too that I've had success with in this is it's not, you know, for a guy like me, I say playing a horn, I'm not going to most likely not going to start a conference. But what I'm really looking for is at the end of the conference, there's often a big hoopla, a big dinner event, and then they bring in entertainment at the end as well.
Yep. No, exactly. I mean, that's where Bobby's world is. It's the after dinner on the second, third, or fourth night of the conference. That's where that is. I mean, that may be your place as well, Michael. That may be the great place for the comedy act, you know, that brings together everything they've learned in these events, over the last 4 days.
So what is the contact person that we're looking for? What are they called?
Yeah, they're going to be called a conference chair, conference organizer, maybe just a contact, you know, as the case here. And this lady, Sherry, she could definitely hook you up with who the person is who's the conference chair, or who's organizing it, or who Michael could call and say, who would I talk to about bringing a headline comedy show to the final night of your event that will tie together everything that economic development stands for?
Okay. Did you go over this Upwork thing last week on the after I quit?
Probably. Quitter. No. Yeah. I think so.
Hey, Barry.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what I did. I contacted, they called him the editor, which is the guy who was running the organization. And I didn't get any response. So let's say you shoot out an email. And then what's the next step? You wait, 3 days? Send him another email? Or what's your suggestions?
So do a couple of emails, maybe a day, maybe 2 days. Not that important what it is. Make sure you play with what the subject is. Make sure it talks about them in the subject, and then look for them, Thomas, on LinkedIn or Twitter, and send them a direct message on either of those two.
So that's LinkedIn. There's a premiere, and I forget what it's called, but I think then you can contact someone that you don't know. So it's probably worth the investment, I'm guessing.
It's very worth the investment. I mean, it's I think I don't know what I pay, maybe $350 a year or something for LinkedIn, but I can do whatever I want on there. And It's important, it's going to be, if you're going to be working conferences, you want to get in touch with people, but on LinkedIn, you can also, and I'm almost positive because I did this with a guy's account once, and the social platforms are constantly changing around. But I will tell you, if I want to share something and I'm not connected to somebody here and I write at Shari, I don't know who any of these people are. What was that woman's name at the thing here? Shari Nurek. Let me copy her name. You can at symbol a lot of the time. Yeah, here she is right here. So I could tag her in something right here. She's going to get a post on here that I posted something about her. All right, I'm not going to post that, but yeah.
So you might say something like, check out this article we're not doing the article. You might say something like, well, I'm just going to read what you're writing.
Yeah.
Wanted to know about dryer sheets.
Will you read it out loud?
Of course, this is a third, you're writing in third person. But we would be writing in first person.
No, I'm writing in first person to this person. Economic development, that's what I was doing. So I'm just saying, even with that, and I hope you can do this with a free account. I mean, I can do this to people I'm not connected to. I don't know if you can do it with a free account.
I don't think you can, but I think I checked maybe $35 a month. There's about 10 different programs.
Yeah. Oh, there's so many different programs. Yeah. So, one of the things you want to be able to do is to tag people, call people out like this. I mean, it's really, really important.
Is it possible for you to just cut and paste these things in all these little messages that you're coming up with right now into something so that we can have them later?
Sure. No problem.
It's hard to keep up with, with your brain speed.
Oh, I tell you, man.
Hey Barry, real quick. I'm not going to tag someone like that and have them to hire me on if I was on LinkedIn Premium, would I?
You might, you know, honestly, I might write something like this. I mean, if you have a story that connects you with economic development, you know, or, you know, whatever the topic is, you know, you grew up poor, you did this, you know, and I know at this event from looking at your website and the articles you're talking about giving people opportunities,
right?
Whatever it is, don't be afraid of tagging someone in here and just kind of saying, hey, I want to talk to you about your upcoming event. And then also, I mean, this, like this lady, Sherry, I could look her up here. How do I get her?
I just tagged you, Thomas Schrader, at like I and I have a free account, so you can tag.
Oh, boom! Yeah.
You can.
Go. Was that Don? Who did that, Don?
Yeah, Don.
Thank you so much. That was awesome.
Oh, you know, I think I was doing trying to send them an email message.
Which... Yeah, in mails you have to be a member for in mails.
Gotcha. So you just tag and put it on your own LinkedIn page.
You can, definitely. Or you can put it in a group. You know, you could be inside of a group or, you know, just all of us live in communities where there are LinkedIn groups about what's happening in business. And right. If you're not connecting to your local area groups, San Francisco Chamber, San Francisco Economic Development, San Francisco Meeting Business Group, there's all these groups. You got to be in there and be a voice. I mean, we're jumping ahead a few weeks. But my gosh, do it now so that when this time comes up about LinkedIn, you go, yeah, I got my account set up. I got my thing. I'm in all these groups. Don't be posting yet, or you don't need to be posting yet, but holy cow. So with a paid account here, I have this little button here called InMail, and I could drop Sherry a line right here. Boom, boom, boom. They guarantee she'll do this. 15 a month I get to send. God, they used to add these up. They quit adding them up. I used to have like 100 in a bank. Everything changes.
Oh, is that to keep you from sending out too many, like you're not spamming people?
I think at the plan I'm at 15 a month. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't have the camera on. But so here, 15 a month. But I looked at this a while back and it had like 150 in the bank because I hadn't, you know, I got more than I was sending out, but they're not adding them up anymore.
Dear Sherry, please respond. I just wasted a credit on you.
Exactly.
Has it ever happened where you've posted and tagged someone and had like an adverse reaction to that? Because it seems like so public for kind of like a personal concern.
Yeah, it's not. If I plugged it on my page, is that Sora who asked that?
Hi. Yeah. Hi.
Hey, Sora. Good to see you. It's a post on my page. They're the only ones who are going to get notified about it. You know, it's not going to go out. And if people do, LinkedIn is about connecting. So more people will know that Shari Norak is involved in economic development. So,
cool, right on.
Yeah. But yeah, just to straight up answer your question, I've never been stopped for doing that at all. And I've gotten, you know, I tend to use InMail more because if I want to reach someone, I just drop them an InMail. LinkedIn kind of guarantees you'll get an answer for this. You know, they switch back and forth. They used to guarantee you'd get an answer. How does it work? If you get an answer, they don't take it off your credits. If you don't get an answer, I think they take it off your credits. Now that's the way it goes. They used to do it where if somebody didn't answer, you got the credit back. Yeah.
The way I've been doing it is I go on to a friend and I can ask for a referral. But when you do that, you're talking to a friend, you can look at the other profiles that may pop up that are similar to that industry, say like event planner. And then you have a little button underneath their little avatar and it says connect. Don't push that one. Go click on their profile and connect with them from their profile and you don't get charged.
Yes.
And then I do have a script that's real basic. It's like two lines. Hey, I saw your profile pop up on a mutual connections page. Sure would love to connect. All the best. And we're doing the same thing.
Hey, will you post that on the group? That's really nice.
Yeah. It's
Ted Pedromo, who talks to us about LinkedIn, he's got a nice little swipe file of intro things that he'll share with us. But this is something also that's interesting here. When we're on Shari Norak's page talking about economic development, this conference coming up in Atlanta in a handful of months, all these people over here, see these are people she's connected to. A lot of them have to do with Economic Development Alliance. Would it be a good idea if that's something you wanted to talk about, Miguel, you know, to jump in there and connect with a few of these people? Yeah, probably.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, and this is one, you know, I'm showing this one thinking, oh my gosh, Bear, I could spend, you know, an hour of my day on this and not get anything from it. The first one may be an hour. The second one's going to be 30 minutes. And then you get to the point where it's just like, I'm going to look up the person. I'm going to find them on LinkedIn. I'm going to send a quick note. I'm going to look just down the right side real quick to see if anyone else makes sense.
Right.
And when you say connect, are you saying you're sending them a message or something, or tagging them something? It's not like Facebook where you're sending a request for friendship or connection, right? Like that.
Well, yeah, you might, you're going to send a connection. And when you hit this connect right here, you're going to get to put a little message here.
Yeah. Connect is like Facebook friendship.
Okay.
When you're connected to someone, it's just like Facebook.
And they have to accept it?
No.
Nope.
No.
But only after, you can't send them a message like Facebook unless your friends are ready, pretty much. Facebook.
So it's like Twitter following somebody, kind of.
Yep.
I don't know about Twitter, but.
So Barry, when you, when you tag that Sherry and it's on your page, other people can read that too?
Yep.
So if you did a bunch of these in a day, someone could scroll down and be like, oh, he's just hitting up a bunch of people today.
Yeah, this guy's motivated. Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. If I write something like this, this is the exact kind of thing that I've written on people's page when I want to be at their conference. I just say, economic development, that's my life, and I'm the funniest guy to ever talk about it. Can we talk for a few minutes? Boom, send the invitation. And then, like magic, just don't even think about it again, Miguel. You know, so I'm going to push you to do some of these, maybe, you know, 5 or 10 that are conferences coming up in Atlanta, and let's just get in front of a bunch.
And that's what I was doing. I was looking up conferences, but I just stopped and said, okay, now what? How do I?
Oh, awesome. Good, good.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's another step forward. Sometimes on these web pages, you'll see the conference chair. You'll see some other people who are involved, who to talk to, a sales team, a contact person. Just get in there.
Okay.
Yeah, and she's not the right person. We were using her as a sample, but I mean,
right.
She's selling sponsorship.
And another thing, I guess, because my website is not up, I was a little leery because the first thing a lot of people will say, well, let me see your website. Well, it's under construction.
Yep, that's why we want to talk to them. Red flag. That's why we want to talk to them and not send them to a website, you know?
Right.
And yeah, it comes into play and it's something you're going to do, but you can control the conversation. It's a relationship builder. And plus, when we're having this conversation in, you know, 6-8 weeks, you're going to have a better website. So.
Right.
So let's.
Okay. Thanks.
Yeah, you bet, man. This is good. I like this conference. This is one I probably
would. That was a good question. Because I had the same question.
Well, thank you, sir.
Yeah.
So, Barry, you would encourage, I think you had mentioned to me, like, hey, don't do anything reaching out yet because you're still getting your stuff together. But you're saying that we should go ahead and start reaching out?
You know, it depends on how comfortable you are doing this, Tim. You got a site that shows what you do, that has video that shows what you do. Don't hold back for you. For Miguel, I think he's redoing a website. You lost a website or something. I forgot you told me. But, you know, you got to have a little bit in place. But we're going to control the conversation we have with them. So, you know, if you feel good doing that, you got a Facebook page. You got whatever you can send somebody to. In that first one, though, to the person about this economic development, just ask for a conversation. Don't have to do anything else.
Okay.
There's a lot of good ones in Atlanta. You know, not surprising. They're always.
Yes, yeah, a lot. It's a lot of them as well.
It's one of the big cities, man. It's one of the big five. You know. It's Phoenix, Vegas, Chicago, Orlando.
What about Dallas? Because that's where I'm originally from.
It's, I mean, there's conferences there. I've certainly done them, but it's not what I would call one of the big five. Oh. But there's a lot going on there. But yeah.
What are you Googling? Annual conferences and then the city name?
Yeah. You know, if you have one, you're going to look at, you know, you're there by Javits Center. There's something every single day that you could be pitching to Greg.
Yeah.
Every day.
Guaranteed. We see your screen. Is it something that we're seeing? Or?
Okay. Oh, I just kicked over to, popped in New York instead of Atlanta there at the end. You know, there's no shortage. These guys always have money, man. I've done so many. I did one of American Association of Surgeons for medical anomalies or something. I did them in Boston at the JFK Museum. Surgeons have, you know, doctors have so much money for their conferences. All you need to do is just get in front of them and let them know that you're going to bring something to the table that they're not going to have otherwise. Just really. Yeah, this is this weekend. Yeah. Oh, this is a good example, though, because once sites like this have a... How did I go off? Yeah. Sites like this have a new program. Yeah, when you can see the program and you can say, what are you doing on Wednesday the 26th, you know, after dinner, here's an idea. Now, here's all the eggheads who are speaking. Yeah, here's their thing. So when you can get something like this in front of you, oh, this is just a one night, one day, or yeah. All right. All right. What are some more questions we have about stuff from week two? Anyone? Phone calls.
I just wanted to ask, you keep talking about, like, you know, I'm just feeling to see if this is a good fit for you. And what are we looking for when we're seeing, like, what is a good fit and how do you know? Like, what
right,
are we,
right.
What's that?
So next week, we're going to tackle the 5-step sales funnel, which this is where this conversation goes into, to connect with someone. And we're going to talk through about how we bring that. So what is a good fit? A good fit is if you can see a hole in their events, or, you know, just like you did in the, when you were asked to do the symphony thing, like they've been showing their people playing violins and basses and, you know, kettle drums for 50 years. And they thought, wow, what if we did something that was visual? You know, what if we just did something a little bit different? And that's the angle, you know, for marketing the symphonies, you have to go on. I mean, you have to go on what you were blessed to already experience without having to market it and get one. So,
yeah, I mean, that's a given for me. So, for example, I'm considering proposing something for the Rogers Cup. I did an animation gig for the Davis Cup years ago, 2013. It was really fun. I have all the equipment. I have, you know, the costumes. The Rogers Cup's coming to Toronto, Montreal, and I'd like to call them and be like, you know, I could be fun for your event in animation. Like, they loved me at the Davis Cup to pump up their audiences before everybody went into the event. So, like, I know I'm a good fit for them, but how do I, you know, like, where's that conversation go?
Yeah. So that's exactly what we're going to tackle in the next. I'm going to walk you through the sales funnel. The first step of that'll be assessing if there's a fit or not. And then you proposing something. Oh gosh, I have all the sheets. Let me just see if I can, yeah, I don't want to peek you ahead. It just doesn't make any sense, really. It'll be out of context.
Okay, yeah, no problem. As long as it's where we're going.
But oh my gosh, is it where we're going? We're gonna lead into just a single page, a graphic, just a single email or a graphic, a landing page, wherever we put them, where we just show them how we can do it. I think I do it in a trade show setting, in the one that I give you. But I talk about engagement, about getting their hours. I have a little quote pulled out from Trade Show Exhibit Magazine, just saying how a live entertainment at a booth ups engagement 87% or whatever. So all we need to do is we just start helping them see a possibility.
I used that exact same quote.
What's that?
I used that exact same quote.
Oh, awesome. Good. Yeah, it's a great one. Yeah, it's published. So. Yeah, so a fit, you know, yes, Ed, it's when we can up the quality, the experience, or the engagement for their audience. That's it. You know, we're just so many times people who are put on these events are so lost down in the trees that they can't even see all the opportunity that's missing. So we show up as these miracle workers and we get to just kind of say, hey, here's an hour of this thing that you're not going to have to worry about. This is what it's going to be like based on, you know, here's 5 things that past clients have said about it, or here's what I bring to the event if you don't have those testimonials ready.
Can I ask a question that, I don't know. So, you know, for these conferences or conventions, is there like a name, you know, like there's the closing night party or whatever. Are there like specific names that they call these things so that if I'm talking to somebody, I can be like suggesting?
Yeah. So awards banquets, general. So some kickoff.
Sorry, I'm not sure if you heard that.
No.
Aren't they sometimes called the gala on the final night I've seen?
Yeah.
Yeah, closing night dinner, closing night event, something.
Closing night events, right.
I bet you just about everything. I've even done breakfasts. I mean, breakfasts are incredible. Breakfasts are so fun. You know, everyone's in this big room, and one company has decided to sponsor some entertainment for breakfast so they would be remembered well. So, this is rare, but it's happened.
So if you book a breakfast, are you booked directly by the sponsor?
Yep. I've been booked directly by Toyo Tires has done it for us. Motorola has done it. Brought us in. Samsung had us at a CES show once. You know, it was like the breakfast was sponsored by Samsung, and they're like, holy cow, let's throw in some fun entertainment.
So we find the event online, and then we find that they're sponsoring that, and then we find out who the person is for exactly. The sponsor.
So you can back that up just like this. Like on this one, they had the sponsors. Where was it? Deep program. They have their sponsors on here. So this is easy money to just find out these people are doing things. And they're probably all signed up for doing things. They're printing the programs. They're doing the T-shirts. They're paying for this or that. But when you get down into the program, sometimes you'll see like here, opening remarks. See, this is a place to pitch. If you have some kind of a splash act that lasts, you know, 4 minutes, 5 minutes, 6 minutes, and it's something that just wakes up a crowd, that's when you say, I have this opening for a conference. It takes 4 minutes. It gets every single person engaged. It gives some history of Boston, you know, wherever the event is at, whatever you can bring to it. This is the kind of thing you're looking for right here. It's always 8 to 8:30. People are jacked on sugar and coffee.
So that's the thing that you take straight to the sponsor.
Sure. That where I was showing you was sometimes these will say like networking lunch sponsored by, Markham or whatever.
Yeah.
So they don't say that on this one. The more you start looking into these, you'll find.
All right. So can we just like, just as a case study. So let's say that we're looking at this site and you say, all right, networking lunch sponsored by Markham. So now you go up and you contact Markham, right?
Yep.
And who do you try to get to at Markham?
There you look. There you would call up and look for someone who's either in marketing, someone who's connected. I would ask the gatekeeper. Could I talk to someone who's connected with the, what is this, New York SHRM? I mean, I gotta find out what SHRM stands for.
Human Resource Management.
Oh, I've done so many things. I've done HRM things. Those are great. Oh my gosh. Human resources places to have money. Yeah, human resources at its best, right?
So you would just cold call Markham? Say,
I would start, my first step is always to go back to LinkedIn. So I kind of look on LinkedIn and see if there's anyone who I have a contact with at Markham, works at Markham. There's rarely a time when I don't have a LinkedIn.
I got to get a LinkedIn account.
So if we are connected to absolutely no one on LinkedIn, you would still use that and maybe search someone out via Markham and try to send them a message that way or no?
Yeah, because you probably won't be connected to anyone at Markham, but you may be a second level connection, which means you know somebody who knows that person. And you can ask for an introduction. And then it's not at all out of the question to just go in cold. I mean, here's an HR manager. She definitely knows what's going on at SHRM.
So you call them and say, hey, I'm calling about the upcoming conference in New York and I wanted to speak to the person who's booking.
I would just come right here to LinkedIn on her, connect with her or send her an email.
Show us the screen, Barry.
Oh gosh, I'm so sorry, you guys. God dang, that was a lot of good stuff. Let me back that up. So sorry. So let me show you how I got there. I got here from her page here. I was on this one. I just hit their little LinkedIn tag up here. This takes you to their group on LinkedIn. Right here and right here. And then I see someone here who's an HR manager. Oh, no, she's not at that place, right? So, this is New York SHRM. So join this group for sure. Apply to join this group, which is great. You'll learn some things. And then just come to your LinkedIn. Works in HR. come up to your magic box here. Where it's in HR. Is it Markham? Is that what that was called? HR recruiter.
When is the LinkedIn module? Because I don't know anything about LinkedIn.
Yeah. Hey, for now, just get an account and start looking around, you know, and start connecting with some people. The number one strategy in LinkedIn is start connecting with people in your local area who are in business, who are in government.
Not other performers.
I mentioned it last week. You know, we're superheroes to those people.
Right.
That is.
Oh my God! It's so amazing.
You're that guy.
What's funny is I see Namely as one of the conference partners there. I did a show for them. I did a show for their New York office. And I was like, they probably would never even think of having a conference like this or if there's a exhibiting trade show portion.
Never.
When you sign up for LinkedIn for a new profile, they will connect all of your contacts.
You don't have, No, they're not going to add them, though. They'll just say, here are some suggested contacts.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not going to suddenly have everyone in your address book. Works at Markham. Let me take this one through a little further.
So when you're going after a conference like that, if you're going in cold, would you try to get the breakfast with the sponsor and also the opening session or the closing and just throw in as many things you can and then just see what bites? Or
forget I mentioned the breakfast one for now. It's really rare. Look for the after dinner and the general session kickoff. I mean, those are your number one and two go-tos. Mm-hmm. Or if there's an award ceremony. If you have an act you can break up into four or five small appearances, you're a godsend at come out and do a song, do a you're a lifesaver at an award ceremony because they are hideous.
And then what do you need? Is it normally a 30-minute show or 45-minute show?
If you're in the conference world, 45 to 60, yeah. But you know, I don't want to just say that we're only talking about people working at corporate, but really you just have to have something that's appropriate for that. For that event, and corporates tend to be 45 to 60. And if you're doing an award ceremony, you know, you got four great bits that last 2 to 3, 4 minutes each. Yeah, I've done a lot of that.
That 45 to 60 minutes would mainly be at the closing. The opening session, it wouldn't necessarily be that, right? You'd do a real short thing there.
Opening sessions are flash acts. You know, you walk in, you make a CEO appear, you throw knives around a VIP. You know, it's something quick. It's something that engages that whole audience and makes them go, holy cow, this is going to be something different.
I wonder just with this, you said 45 to 60 minutes. You know, I've done banquets the last 2 years. I've never done more than the 40 minutes as long as I've ever done a banquet, for example, in Aura, at least, because the general audience asks for 25, 30 minutes. That's like the standard, at least in Europe, I think.
Yeah. Well, in Europe and also maybe just in Norway, you know, everything's regional, but my whole career was 60-minute shows. You know, that's what I always did at conferences.
Wow. Is a 60-minute show that's pretty much just a show and you just loosely tie in some to their...
Oh, yeah.
You have to be on message the whole time, right?
Oh, gosh, no. Oh, my gosh. No. In fact, you can get more corporate gigs. I know there's an article on customization. And literally, I have a questionnaire. Let me put my notes here to share with you guys afterwards, because I'm sure I've updated it since then. Post my questionnaire. In fact, let me show it to you quick, and then we'll... just get the Raspini Dropbox here. No idea how happy that makes me. Box. Yeah. So this questionnaire, I send this to them when I'm booking. And then the answer to these questionnaire replies, Vol, Raspini questionnaire. Here we go. Yeah. So this questionnaire is what I. I think there's 12 things on here. The answer to each of these is kind of the punchline of a joke in our show. And I tell you, if you can work in 12 mentions of city, where they're from, make fun of one of their competitors, compare yourself to the number of years they've been in business, you know, whatever, how was the company started, some funny story when you're doing some trick about the company started. At the end of a 30, 40, 60 minute show, it's going to sound like you work for the company. Include this.
Yeah, this is great. Could you post this?
Yeah, I'll stick this in. I'll stick this in our group right now.
Thank you.
Hey, Barry.
Yo.
What about going straight to, like, I was just cold calling on foot one time, and I approached, Point Hilton Resorts up here in Phoenix. And the lady was nice enough to email me the contact that she had at Southwest Conference Planners. Are there a lot of groups like that that just handle conferences? That, because she said that, you know, Southwest Conference Planners, an organization like that, that's all they did. If they had somebody from out of town that knew they were coming into Phoenix with a group and they wanted some entertainment, they get all that. You know, do you work with a lot of that type of organizations where that's all they do? Are you familiar with Southwest Conference Planners?
Yeah. I don't know if I'm going to spell that right. Yeah, so that's called a DMC, a Destination Management Company. DMC. So, yeah, write down DMCs. You guys should all get familiar with those. Trying to think when we talk about those. Yeah, we talk about those, I think, around week 8 when we interview a whole bunch of producers. And can I add a file to this thing? Geez, I don't know why I can't add a file in here. Sorry. Nope. I'll just put it in my notes and I'll bring it out to you. So yeah, Desi, that's a DMC. And DMC. Yep. And big cities, you know, big cities that have conferences have a ton of those. Probably some of the strongest relationships you can get is to go in there, drop them something, drop them an idea, drop them something that's about them, that mm-hmm. What you bring to events.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, my gosh, what a connection those are to make. Those are people like producers, you know, they'll do a buy sell with you. They'll buy you for one rate and sell you to their clients for another rate. But,
What was it, DMC, Barry? I'm sorry, I missed that. What was
Destination Management Company.
Oh, Destination Management.
And they're not only handling entertainment. In fact, you know, they'll say, oh, we probably don't do that, but you can become a preferred vendor with them. But, you know, they'll handle rides from the limo, interfacing with the hotels, caterers, tours that you're going to maybe do while you're there. You want to take your group out for a golfing event or something. That's what they do.
Is that a type of company or that is a company?
That's a service, DMC.
Oh. It's like an agent for conferences.
Here's one I just brought up from Atlanta. I think this is it. Let me see. No, that's maybe something else.
And Barry, what was that... app that you were talking about that we talked about where you have, this is off the topic, but I forgot what was the name of that app that you use where you can have live feeds and 5 different angles of the cameras and, you know.
Oh, Switcher Studio. I'll put that in those.
Thank you.
Yep. Oh, sorry. I should have linked that last week. I'll put that in week 1 notes.
Was that the one that you were linking up your GoPros to?
No, that this is for Apple devices for doing a live broadcast or recording. You can use Switcher Studio just to record a live show too. Sorry about that.
Because I looked around for $50 GoPros and I didn't see any.
Oh, there's a whole bunch of $35 ones. We linked them on
there. I bought the one that someone linked to last week and I already recorded a show.
Good. Who's that?
It's Tim.
Dude, way to go.
Where'd you link them?
Clamp or on a little mini tripod?
I think Thomas or somebody had linked it last week.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, I have this. I just had it pointing up at the stage. Yeah.
You found a GoPro for how much? $35?
Well, a GoPro knockoff. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a faux Remember, phone, but...
Yeah. I can get you the link. If somebody put it on the link in the notes from our accountability call. In the chat. It was in the chat.
Oh, yeah, down.
Hmm. Hey, where do those get saved somewhere?
Yeah, here.
I feel like
the link's back up.
Yeah, you know, if you guys come down here on the module replay page after this, I put everything that we do from here on here, so you'll see it.
Okay. I put it on the chat right there, the $35 one, if you open up the chat.
Yeah, so thanks for doing that. I bought that, so yeah. And just as a side note, Barry, I don't know if it's when we do these, I just put on the chat a request if anybody has the link to that Trade Show magazine quote, because I would love to use that. So is that an appropriate place to ask for something like that?
Sure, I'll post it. It'll go on the... It'll go right onto here when I'm done. I'll stick all the live chat in here so you'll see it. And what were you looking for, Tim, specifically? I missed that.
That Trade Show magazine quote about using live entertainment.
Oh, yeah. You'll see that next week when I talk about the sales funnel. I have it on there for sure.
Hey, I've got a question here about video. So is there a permission issue?
Hey, man, don't be a buzzkill. No, what are you saying now? I'm sorry. Permission to shoot?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I know. Kids, man, I'd be real careful on your end. I've never had a single thing come up in my world.
No, I filmed a couple with the little HD cams. No, I set it on myself, and the vibration from my PA was rattling the floor, and so it was all a bit fuzzy. So I end up hiring a local media, so at the local college, a guy who teaches media. He brought three broadcast quality cameras and set it all up. But I had a form for permissions for everyone at the party, blah, blah, blah. And no one said anything, but equally, no one said anything at all when I just said, oh, by the way, I'm filming this, if that's all right with everyone. But there's nothing, no one would ever have a concern about that, or I just need
was that with kids in the audience?
Pardon?
Was that with kids in the audience?
Yeah.
Wow, man. Yeah, I don't know how I would go about that, Ian, actually. I would really try and research how people are doing that.
When we do it, as long as we do a lot of family shows.
Yeah.
As long as you don't have as long as you don't have the kids' faces in the camera without a release, it's fine. But if you're just filming your show, if you're just filming the stage view of your show, we usually, like in our contract, we say we reserve the right to take photo and media of this performance. And so they have to kind of sign off on that in your contract, right?
FYI for everyone, just because audience reaction is key. Obviously, we want their faces. I know from all my promo videos in schools, the parents sign a general release in the beginning of the school year. So if they are objecting to that, when I have shot my DVDs in schools, we will have those children sit in a certain spot and I don't pick them, they don't film them, that kind of a thing. That's just an FYI.
Okay.
Really good input, Tim. You're
the only time I've ever had a problem with filming is with symphonies, because they're unionized and they have specific rules. And usually it's about the sound, not the people. But
I had one, I guess that's their thing to protect, isn't it? I had one issue where I was told, no, there's a child who is currently in between parent and adoption, i.e. there was the definite, and they were not to be. Oh, what's that?
What the heck?
Sorry, I think
that's the alarm of the guy who doesn't want me to film anybody.
That's
see?
Right. He's filming. that was here, not my window. Sorry.
But so filming a video in that instance, I would be told straight away. When you say a release, I don't think that's a thing in the UK. I believe I can just film. And that's all right, but I don't feel that's right, you know.
You guys have no rules there, huh?
Well, no, it's strange though, because the use of that video is then, well, if it's appropriate, then I think that's how it's okay. It sounds counterintuitive, I know, especially as you're all in the States, and I think it's quite hard probably to get videos of kids. But I wondered if there was a way I could safeguard myself. Just, I don't know. I mean, I'm in a circle here, aren't I?
You know, Ian, it may be something for you to look up with local laws. You know, I would say that's, you know, it's funny. I just went to a conference last week in Phoenix, though, and before they hand you the badge to go in, you have to sign a release waiver that just says, hey, we're videotaping this thing. Chances are you'll be somewhere, you know, and it's almost, well, you know, I don't want to say it's they're right, but it's expected now that we'll waive that right to some extent.
I can tell you, you know, at least in American jurisprudence, there is a privacy tort where you're not supposed to be able to make money from the image and likeness of somebody else without the permission. So if it's a child, the parents would have to consent for them. But that's in a pure legal sense. I would tell you, film whatever you want to, but if a parent contacts you and says, take my kid's face out of that, take the kid's face out of it.
Yeah, you're not making money off the sense.
Well, making money is a very loose regulation in American law. I would tell you, I mean, the rule is supposed to, you're supposed to get a release from the kid's parents before you can use their image in anything. But that's not practical in the real world in a lot of senses. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean, I'm a lawyer and I film stuff like crazy and I've never had an issue. But during our show, when I was doing the street performing stuff, I'll bring a kid up and say, everybody take his picture because he's going to be on my Facebook account tonight. You know, mom, you don't have a problem, do you? It's just my luck. You know, I'm a poor guy and your husband's an attorney, you know, something like that. And make a joke out of it. And we've never had a bunch of performers that have. If you're doing the birthday party market, you're more likely to have issues where people are in the middle of a divorce and the parenting plans, especially when you get into very affluent people, will say that they're not supposed to, you know, expose the child to certain things or involve the children in certain things or use the child's likeness, things of that sort, especially, you know, when you start getting into celebrity groups. But that's Patrick.
Yeah, man, we have I forgot we're talking about all this stuff, and Patrick's actually a real life, doesn't just play one on TV, real life attorney. So, yeah. So thanks for adding that piece of it. It's, you know, and I used to always grab the logos of our clients. I had big page. In fact, on our promo video, there's like 100 of them that run behind us as we're talking. And one time in my whole life, I got a thing from State Farm Insurance that said, hey, we see yours on our logo, take it down. There was no lawsuit. There was no file. It was a letter, and I took it down, and it really wasn't that big a deal.
Okay, thank you. So maybe it's easier to seek forgiveness than permission in this instance.
It might be. I don't want to say that. Yeah. I would say if you're in the country, I would say.
What about guys? Can I chime in on that?
Yeah, go ahead.
As far as kids. The easier to ask permission thing. I'm a foster adoptive parent. Maybe 99 times out of 100, that'll be fine. But one time, you could get burnt in the butt bad.
What's that burn look like, though, Doc? What is it? I mean, what's that burn look like? Is it take it down, or is it like we're taking you to court, or?
Well. Not that, it's just that some of these kids have the reality of their life is you don't want a bio parent knowing the whereabouts of that kid. I don't mean legally. I just mean safety wise.
Totally. Yeah. That's a big piece.
Hey team. Am I here?
Yeah, you're there.
Yeah, you're there.
Oh, cool. Julian Mather. He's a showbiz blueprint.
Yeah, he's awesome.
He at Magician Business, he did an episode on this, the money shot, how to get pictures of kids during your birthday party show.
Ooh,
I put a link to it in the chat. And there's a release form at the in like the resources on that page.
Thank you.
And I've had some luck too with just announcing before the show how the MC announce it. And then have a little piece of paper when people are coming in to put that this will be filmed. And if you have any, you know, problem, and then you're going to make a joke about it. Like, hey, we're going to be doing some filming. So if you're going to be here with someone that you're not supposed to be here with,
right,
leave. And didn't have any trouble with that over the several shows I've done.
Just to chime in, I've seen signs like that in various shows that I've done for amusement parks. They put up a sign, like, as people are entering the theater or performance space, saying, hey, just so you know, by being in this theater, you consent to being filmed.
Yep. Yeah. So, yeah, lots of ways around that. And, you know, I'll just add, it doesn't sound like anyone here has ever gotten any trouble where they've had to go to court. So, I mean, let's keep it in perspective. Let's really go for the 999 out of 1,000 that when it just serves us. What's that, Ian?
And that's exactly why I'm here, because you don't know another entertainer. There's not one living next door, so I don't know who to ask.
Wow,
you know, so that's cool. That, and if I've just got to be brave and get over myself first, which is fine, that's a Bill LeBon thing. then I'll crack on with the videos. It's good.
Ah, cool. Well, good. Yeah. And okay. Good. It's probably enough on that. All right. Anyone else want to do anything with the phone call stuff? Does anyone feel like, you know, there's a reason I'm not going to do it this week? I'm stuck here, or I feel like I want to hear something. Is everyone up for making at least a call this week and opening up a door? I know Dan posted something on our page. You did a funny video about fraud, and, you know, you called a couple people and just had a conversation. So, you know, the key, listen more, listen a lot more. One of the great alumni in our alumni group wrote such a thing I'll never forget. He just said, whoever talks the most leaves with the product. And I tell you, man, if we can be
leaves with the product.
Leaves with the product.
Does that mean whoever talks the least sells the product?
Yeah, this was just a great turnaround on that. You know, whoever talks the most leaves with the product. And I love that. So
one of the things you covered in the sales call video with Jerry was about how you did your research on Google and LinkedIn in about 3 minutes before you made your call.
Huge. You want to look at some of that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
I'm spending too much time on it. I get down the rabbit hole
And Dan, honestly, it's expected at first that it's going to be that way, but let's do that. Let's just,
While you're pulling that up, the phone calls are meant to be what? Just a cold call to somebody or a call to someone that we already know or what?
No, I mean, I would like you to find something going on either in your community or in an industry that you have some connection with, like we talked about in week one, and just have a conversation about it. Get in touch with somebody who has the ability to make their event better because of your presence.
Hey, Barry.
Basically, like, I want to just talk to you about your event and see what you got going on with you guys, type of thing. Or?
Yeah, you have this event coming up September 4th. I'd love to talk to you about an idea I have for an after dinner or a kickoff event. That's it. Just those two things. Who could I talk to about your upcoming event for September 4th? About an idea for the very last thing they see or the very first thing they see. That's a great little message, actually.
I'm a little excited by this. I actually got a contact just now in the oil industry, and we're having the biggest oil conference in Norway coming up in late August. It's only every second year, it's the biggest oil conference we have, and they're always looking for trade shows ideas, like for their boots. This is like the major one where they're gonna spend money, and I'm certainly getting deep now about potential clients looking for something special at the trade show.
Well, you know, at the trade show, Hans, it's like anyone who wants to work a trade show, all we need to do is point at to be the one booth that doesn't suck, you know. Yeah. And if it's a good company.
Well, I've done 10 hours trade show today already, just in Stockholm. So I'm like, this is a little scary because this is the biggest, most expensive trade show in Norway. It's an oil conference. It's the one.
Yeah.
In Norway. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, make that time count, you know.
Whew.
And how long is the trade show open? You know, say it's 3 days and it's 8 hours.
It's 4 days, actually. But I think it's 3 or 4 days, yeah.
Right. So you say, you know, you have 24 hours and the booths, the aisles are going to be packed. The prospects are going to be climbing over. How are you going to stick out in front of them? How are you going to get your most important key factors, your highest value proposition into their ear, into their head, into their hands in a way that they'll never forget.
And regarding this is the thing I've been wondering about, because you speak a lot about letters of recommendations, because I have a lot of testimonials on my Facebook page, I have a sheet full of testimonials, but they are like one or two sentences. What is the definition of a letter of recommendation as you see it?
Yeah, those are very useful. I would be posting those on the Facebook page every once in a while too, just along with like the single sentence that they said, and then some great memory you have of the night.
Nice.
You know, what a great venue, what an amazing dinner there was. You know, whatever it was that you had the president of Norway there.
But when you speak of a letter of recommendation, what is the definition? Is that just a regular testimonial, or is it actually like a letter signed by, you know?
Oh yeah, it could be either. You know, full letters we barely ever use, you know, those were, exactly. I used to staple those together and send them out back in the 90s or whatever, but no, honestly, it's pull quotes.
It's a word of speech, yeah.
You pull a quote.
It's the testimonial, basically. That's what you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
Sure.
Thanks. Well, and you're sending them to clients, or people are you requesting them from clients, or both?
Well, when you're requesting them from a client, I gotta on Get More Corporate Gigs. You'll see a way that I really recommend doing that. It's very effective. It's a short little article, but that's how you request them. And then when you get them, you just look for the pull quotes that you can use for little testimonial pieces.
Putting them where? Besides putting them on your website, you're talking about using them where?
Yeah, we'll use those in marketing. When we talk about the sales funnel next week, you'll see there's a place where we drop a couple of things other people have said about us. But if you, and you,
hey,
should have
Barry,
you should have a Facebook fan page, post them on there just with a couple sentence memory of that night.
Barry, I got a question. I'm a little intimidated because, I mean, yeah, I did a lot of magic shows before or whatever, but now we're trying to do this law thing. I can find the lawyer conventions to talk to. I know who they are. And honestly, I don't mind to call and talk to them, but I feel like I'm selling something that doesn't exist yet because I'm still in the process of trying to develop the show. Or am I overthinking it? Should I just be, I mean, I know I can come up with a show. Where in that process, kind of like Victor, I know Victor, we were talking last night about the same thing. We're trying to come up with the idea of a new show. So I don't want to sell the same people that I performed for before. Should I go ahead and call these legal conferences and talk about something that I believe will be, or should I try to, I'm a little confused and lost there.
Sure. It's good, Patrick. What we should really do with you is develop a single landing page that is a page for this show for lawyers, because some needs to be fleshed out. I can hear in your mind, you know, is it just a magic show? Is it you talking about law? Is it ways that lawyers could benefit? Are you going to teach them something about law using principles of magic? There's a lot there. So let's flesh out exactly, you know, paint a picture, just get this magic brush out and just say, here's what I'd love to do for a room of 500 lawyers. And let me hear what that is.
Okay.
Once I know what that is, I'll tell you exactly how to sell it.
And you want me just to send it to you in an email or?
Post it on our group.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like right now?
Well, I don't know about right now, but.
I wasn't ready for that.
Yeah. I know, that's good. But you know, say it'll be 45 minutes. It'll be a magic show. I'll use some ideas from law. You know, they'll know I'm a lawyer. I'll be introduced as a practicing lawyer in Knoxville, Tennessee, who also, you know, write your introduction too. Write how you want the MC to introduce you, because that'll help inform how the show goes. And you may have a couple. You may have one that's just an entertainment show. You may have one that's more of a keynote speech to lawyers about using principles of magic. It may be combined. So let me know what you want to sell, or, you know, what the audience, like, even what time of day, you know, is if it's after dinner, it's a different show. If it's after dinner, you're not teaching them anything. Right. If it's after dinner, it's entertainment. You know, if it's a breakout session in a conference and you're going to talk about incorporating the principles of magic into your law practice, that's a great keynote. I mean, that's a great breakout session.
That's the direction I was thinking about.
Yeah. So let me know what you actually want to sell, and then we'll reverse the selling of it. It'll be good.
Barry, can I jump in again? Hi. I know my kids' show is not going to sell at corporate gigs. I know that. So I need to miss out all the poo jokes and all that kind of thing. But I know that the magic, and I know that, well, how you say superhero, but the superhero nature of the fact I can get up there and do something, and then family audiences is fine by me.
should I have the create the final product ready? Because I was thinking at the minute for the next, I don't know, 12 months, if I can find a bigger gig, I don't have the show yet. If I'm confident to just build a quick show, come up with something new for something, would you say not to do that?
I'd look into your network. You have such a network that you may have tapped to one level of getting lateral birthday parties, things like that, kids festivals. But every one of those parents works for something. And if there's a handful of them, even six for you to start experimenting on, just finding out, are they having a meeting? Are they attending a conference? Because, I mean, it would probably be a reasonable jump for you to go to, I mean, do you feel like you have a stage show that would play well for adults?
I've done it in amongst charity variety events and things and where it's majority adults and so on, so it's not just whoopee cushions,
I don't want you to do is to try and sell yourself to a big meeting and you use a network contact to do it and you don't feel ready. That's a nightmare to me. If there is someone in your network that you could begin with, because really what you need to get is a little bit of video at some point. So look at your network, and pick a number for yourself. Just say, I'm going to find 10 adults who work for real companies and I'm going to contact them and just kind of say, hey, do you guys have a meeting? Do you have a mixer? Do you have a social? Do you have an all hands meeting? Are there morning sales meetings? Something where I could get in front of a group and bring them, connect them a little bit better. Yeah, you'd be surprised what you can get happening that way. So follow up with me if that's not clear, because you're in a good position whether you can see it or not. It's a really good place to be, that transition place. Good.
Hey, Barry.
Yes.
I've got, if we have a minute, I'd actually like to tell you about something I'm working on that I'm kind of amused and excited about, but I'm not sure what to make of it yet.
Let me ask you just one thing, David. Do you think it couldn't benefit everybody here, or should I hear about it separately from the call?
If we can, it's sort of an unusual situation, but if you'd be happy to do that separately, that'd be fine too.
Yeah, unless you think it would benefit everybody, talking about it, I'd love that, but I don't want other people.
I don't know. Maybe. One of the interests I had was to for a long time, I've thought about writing a show about ADHD using, circus as a metaphor for some of my various thoughts about it. And last year I did an adult ADHD support group at UPenn. And so I reached out this past week to the woman who ran that and asked her about conferences and things like that. And what sort of thing was out there, what connections she had. And she said, yeah, there's a conference that I present at every year. I'm planning on doing it again this year. Would you like to come with me? Do you want to write a paper with me? I've always thought that juggling would be, I've always had a suspicion that juggling would be a really effective in the sense that mindfulness is like a big thing in terms of managing ADHD symptoms. And she's like, I want to try to teach a group of people to juggle and see how that affects them.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's amazing. And even if David, if anyone in here has something that's that big in the news and they have something that they'd like to experiment on, I mean, beat your network for a way to get in front of a group of people and test it. And David didn't even have to beat his network. He got invited, which is amazing. So, yeah, how could you do that? What can you do? Can you create a paper? Can you create something? Is an ADHD conference just like half a day? Sorry.
It's like 2 days. It's mostly
That was a bad joke. But if you could find someone.
Sorry, I'm a little slow.
Yeah, and pick up some things that for sure people will be successful at. Even if it's like a single scarf, just that idea of throwing and catching a single scarf. If you're working with people who are actually physically affected by it or a physical hand, bring someone. I used to go do shows in hospitals. So I was in a town. Man, I just bring something that the youngest kid could succeed at. Hold a stick and I'd spin a ball on it. See a kid doing that. Their parents are crying. I mean, it's that intense. So look for the high impact, easy to deliver pieces for that. And boy, I mean, be a guy who has some success or gets mentioned in ADHD circles. And I mean, there's not, this is nothing short of prospecting, you know, just, you know, the old gold rusher and just start digging. It's like, find that place. Especially, it sounds like this one came very naturally for you. Are you an ADHD sufferer?
I am. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Wow. So that's, you know, ongoing path of discovery for me, but
yeah,
I'm trying to figure out now what avenues are available in terms of podcasts and conferences and whatnot that I hadn't considered before.
Mm. Yeah, I'd love it. So, you know, I'll ask you to do what I mentioned to Pat before is, you know, what would it be? What would a write-up look like for that? If you were turned loose with 500 ADHD specialist practitioners,
welcome to another Robcast, and academic. I'm here in the back house with.
Oh. Was that background or was someone talking? Sorry.
Sorry, it was me.
Oh, no problem. Yeah, but if there's, if you're in this room of 500 academics, professors, teachers,
right?
What would you say to them? You know, what, and man, write that up. Once we have the thing, you know, I'm going to challenge you guys in a couple of weeks. We're going to do this thing with this guy who shows us the software where it's, or if you have one on your website, whatever it is, where you can quickly build a page. I'm going to ask you to build your fantasy show, you know, this show, and let's just build it. Once we have it out of this gray area where it can, you know, get infested with bacteria and bad thoughts from our limitations, it's very different to look at it on the screen. So,
cool.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that. Lovely. Thanks, Barry.
Yeah, good stuff. Okay. Groovy Judy, you all right?
Yeah, I'm pretty good. I just started doing what you suggested by reaching out on LinkedIn last night. I stayed up way too late looking into things. And for me, I'm trying to hit the cancer people. So, well, one of the things I was wondering is because of the kind of cancer I had, it was so specific and so rare. There's not a lot going on with that. There's some stuff. I found a bunch of conferences, but I'm wondering if I should go ahead and reach out to just cancer events in general.
Forget that first word. Doesn't, you know, the type of cancer, it's like, I mean, don't forget it for your story, but as far as looking for opportunities, you know, everyone in that world is sitting with the same dilemmas and, you know, you being able to bring a whole new spotlight onto that, that's what we're talking about.
Right. But again, like the other gentleman was saying, I don't know what I'm going to do for my show yet. So that's where I'm kind of stuck too.
Good. I think I'm going to move that whole piece forward where we do the pages. I mean, just do write what you want. Write what
right. I took notes. I heard what you said.
Everybody do that. You have to say, I don't know what to do. It's just write the piece right now. And we'll turn it into a graphical representation in a couple of weeks on a single web page. But for now, boy, take notes on that thing. Get it out of your head with no pressure.
One thing I was not clear on, because I kind of cut the call late, was the blog. What are we supposed to put on our blog?
Oh, yeah, that was early call. You can catch that on the replay. We were just
okay.
Idea for a blog is to get a pixel on people's computer, and we'll handle that later so that when they go to Facebook, you can actually show them ads that drive them back into your world.
Okay, I thought it was more like putting something on your blog about what you're doing and, you know, your show or...
Yeah,
no?
You'll see. Yeah, check that out.
It's at the All right.
Report. Cool. Yeah, hit cancer people, man. As I had shared with Judy when we talked originally about a dear friend, Scott... Scott Burton, who was a juggler and got cancer. And boy, he ended up having an amazing career, 15, 20 years speaking to cancer conferences. And it's powerful. And like I've said about everything, if you can do it as a juggler, you can do it as any discipline. Juggler is the bottom. It is the last resort.
So Barry, did you say in a few weeks, looking at our website is going to be part of this course or?
Oh, yeah. I got a copywriter coming on to talk to us. I'm pretty sure he's going to be able to do it live. He's not in great health, but I have his replay from last year, and I'm going to definitely try and get him on here live to go through a bunch with us. So, yeah, it's juicy. It's juicy.
Can we go back to, I want to make sure I got my notes right about making calls this week.
If we're somebody like in my position where I've never made calls and I've basically just been doing street shows and festivals, am I just looking for like events at Boston Convention Center or things like that and calling and asking, you know, who's doing the entertainment for this and things like that?
Well, no one's doing entertainment and they'll tell you, they'll look for a way to get out of that conversation. But if you voice it in, who could I talk to about making this year's meeting either the first thing that their audience sees or the last thing their audience sees, something they never forget and associate with your event. That, I mean, you have a great website. You have a website that kind of paints an interesting picture of possibility. So I wouldn't be afraid to send this to anybody.
Can you say that again? That was good.
That line, yeah, that was a really good line. I'm trying to write it down too.
Oh, I said, yeah, who would I speak to at your organization who would be interested in making either the first thing your attendees see or the last thing they see, not only the most memorable, but something that they'll associate with you and your event for the rest of their life. I mean, my gosh, to be able to, yeah, jump up on here. I mean, you're up on top of a pineapple tree. You got a pretty good perspective to change the feeling at an event. So,
so staying away from the word entertainment in that initial call.
It's not about entertainment. It's not. You know, we just look at entertainment as what it is, but you know, we don't go to a restaurant to get, you know, food or something. You know, we don't cook. We cook to get the feeling we want. So the more we stay in that world, the better. But I mean, play with these ideas. And yes, Sarah, this is all geared at street right now, and don't worry about it.
Okay.
You're gonna find either through your network or through someone you reach out and contact to, places where you can start getting footage indoors.
Okay, and if in the case of like, I did a call today and I got a gatekeeper who ended up really liking me, and then they just gave me the email of the person I wanna call. Do we do a similar thing in email of like, you know, you're the person who, insert line Barry just said, and then just ask them to get on the phone at a certain time?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's it. Just say, can I call you? I'm going to call you tomorrow morning. Do you have their number by chance, or you can call up and ask for them?
No, I just have like the general business improvement.
The general number. Yeah. That number, you'd be surprised. You could probably call up and say, can I speak to this person? You got their name. Just ask for them. But if not, email them and just say, I'd love to talk to you about your event. And you know the name of the event and everything?
It's a program. Yeah. But yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Don't put name tags on yourself on the phone, no matter what, whether that name tag has a price on it, whether it's got, you know, what I do, or, you know, every single thing is about them. Whose website was I looking at? I was looking at something. Oh no, I was just listening to Greg's call, and it was just really good. And he was just letting the guy talk so much about his world. And once in a while you had something pertinent to throw in, and it was great. So yeah, keep it about them. They have a problem that you're able to solve, that, and that's really what you're there to do.
I know I don't have to say this, but I feel, you know, I obviously no one's going to share that call with the guy, but I just feel like a real creep if he ever knew that it was recorded or anything. So,
okay.
Be cool, everybody. That's all.
Yeah. I know, I took that risk. You guys will hear some calls throughout this thing, and I'm like, oh my gosh, if people ever went, hey, this guy is using your call as a lesson.
I mean, it is legal in New York. It's a one party state, but I don't really care about that.
Yep. Thank you. Thanks for that, though. Thanks for saying that.
So this, who would I talk to? Who would be most interested in your guests experiencing something not only memorable, but they'll remember for the rest of their lives. This is just for the gatekeeper, just to get the event coordinator.
You could also use that same line to somebody. You know, what are you doing at this year's conference to make sure that your event's not only remembered, but talked about and shared and looked forward to for the coming year? Really, all we're trying to do, John, and everyone, is just paint a picture that's beyond what they're thinking. Everyone is just trying to get through their thing. I want you to have the feeling of, I care about this thing succeeding more than you do. I have ideas for this thing that could make this bigger. And we used to do that with juggling. I mean, just, you know, incorporating that questionnaire, all the answers to that questionnaire into something, made a show so memorable that it didn't matter how many years later I'd go back. I just turned a gig over to someone, though, because I'm not doing them anymore. But something we did in 2009, this lady said, really, since 2009, we've wanted a show like yours again, and we've never gotten one. That's, you know, that's the level of connection you want to have. And you can do that if you're a band, you know, if you're Bobby, if, you know, if you're doing music. I mean, you know how to do it maybe better than anyone, Dan, from all your improv experience. But, you know, the more you can connect people, you know, you guys have the benefit of music. You know, it's another form of intelligence. You can connect on that level to people. So
let's say a phone call goes really well, and you're actually talking about a closing night gala or something, and you're probing them with these questions. At some point, you're actually describing your act, right, and actually talking about the entertainment.
Not at that point. I mean, you're not
at that point.
You're going to get into that a little bit. Here's on week three. You guys have access to this curriculum. I'm sure you can look what's happening. But in week three, we're going to talk about outsourcing, a bigger level of relationships, which is some of this, and then the sales funnel. This is when it starts coming into what we talk about our act.
Okay. So
because it's really, if they try and drive you, well, who are you? What do you do? I want to just find out about your event. I'm going to email you something that paints a picture of what's possible at your event. People are, you know, they'll, if they want to stay on the phone, wonderful, you can have that conversation. I mean, don't be a dick, you know, don't specifically, but really why I said that is not to get into the point where we're going into sales mode. You know,
right. We'll okay.
So when we start talking about sales funnels, you guys will love that. We're, it's a very natural rollout. It's a bit of a launch, actually.
Takes the pressure off on the phone call, like you were saying, too, you know.
But let me just chime in, too. So, like, I have this call scheduled for tomorrow, and I can talk to her all about their event and what, you know, what their vision is for and all that sort of stuff. But eventually, I need to get back to them about it. You know, that's the kind of the big question. What's your method of getting back to them? How do we do that? It's just like people have been pointing out things on the Facebook page. It's like, wow, you know, this guy wants a price, you know?
Right.
So I found for me that if I don't give a price, it's like almost a guaranteed forget it. I don't want to deal with you. And so I've found what's been effective for me is to give people a range, and I'll use sort of a mid to a high range. And I'll either just totally repel them and say, yeah, this is forget it, or okay, now we got, you know, now at least they're qualified, you know, yeah, if they get back to me on it.
Yeah. And Bobby, I mean, you have a valid reason for a range. You know, I didn't. I was a two-guy juggling act. Wow. Yeah. You know, you can bring, you can work with a local orchestra. You can bring 10 people. You can go solo.
Yeah,
You have a legitimate range. So stay with that. You know, stay with what you're doing for now. Know that in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to be unrolling how to propose it, what to send them, what it's going to look like, what to say. I mean, right now we're doing a lot of work on exploring so that when you find some things, we're ready to kind of hit the ground. And, you know, Mike, oh, he's not here today. Maybe someone else. Mike shared a CVI in there. You can get an idea kind of how we talk about people. He threw price right into his, which is totally fine. You know, I say modify these things to work for you.
At some point in this course, will you talk about the variance in pricing versus if you're doing a little conference opener versus if you're doing a big closing show? Not that the conference opener is a small thing. I know that can probably get just as much money, but.
Right. Yeah. I think I go deep into this, working with producers, and on week eight, we do on pricing, and I talk about it. I mean, and honestly though, Tim, it's like, I don't ever want to look at hourly stuff. That's just something that I recommend getting away from minute one in this course. I'd love no one to ever quote hourly again. Even if that's what you do, even if you're going to be there for a couple hours, it's an appearance fee. So I imagine you're asking if you want to know if your prices are in range and if you can do more.
Yeah. Or maybe even if they, like if a conference presenter will value a certain part of the conference as a higher, like they're getting more bang for their buck, so they have a bigger budget for a closing session or the, you know, or like that opening session. Maybe we're hitting people up and they weren't even planning on doing something like,
oh, they definitely weren't.
right? So we're giving them this idea. So anyway.
Yeah, they definitely weren't planning on it. I mean, if they were, they'd already been looking for it. So the opening session, the grand opening, I've been on so many of those things where it's just like, wow, I don't know. We were just going to have our CEO walk out to the voice of God, which is sucks. It sucks. It's how everyone's always done it. And it's just terrible. So that's, you know, you're giving them an opportunity to not have their CEO walk out to a voice of God and some bad corporate music and hideous lighting ballyhoo. It's just, it's an opportunity to be different. So we have to paint that picture for them. Yeah, they'll have money for it. You know, maybe money's coming from a sponsor. Maybe it's coming from an education budget or petty cash. That's not the important piece of this thing. The important piece is not the money. The important piece is the opportunity. So and that's all we focus on here at the beginning. So
how often do you get somebody who says, well, that's me. I'm most concerned about people remembering this event. I'm in charge of all this. Does that ever happen?
Yeah. Does that ever happen? You'll always get to that person. You know, you'll meet that person who's most responsible for new leads at a trade show or for, making sure the after dinner event happens in a good way. They'll know what they've done in the past, what's worked, what offends their people, what they're willing to try. You'll always find that person. Yeah. And at some point they're going to care about how much it costs and what are they actually getting and who else has done it. You know, have you done this for someone before? And
Oh, and real quick, core conflict. That just means the problem they're thinking about most.
Yeah, did Betsy share a page with you on core conflicts? She should have. Let me see. Let me look here. Well, maybe she has that coming out next week. Not sure. Let me see.
When you talk about it, it sounds like it's their problem. What is their problem?
Yeah, you know, and what's the, and I even mentioned in that art that that module because I listened to it this morning. The problems they'll tell you, the problems they have, they won't tell you, and the problems they don't even know they're going to have. We hit on the ones that they don't even know they're going to have. You know, from experience and conference work, I can tell you every problem from the second they conference starts, a problem they're going to be having. God dang, where is that sheet? Let me see. I have core conflicts for all these markets written out. Let me just see where Betsy has that. Oh, maybe it's in the one with the 5-step sales funnel. I think it is. 3. Yeah, it's coming out in week 3. Let me just see something. What's the core conflict they might be dealing with right now? Yeah, oh yeah, you guys are going to love this. This is good. Who would have guessed that we're actually talking about stuff that's coming up next? I think I've done this. This is perfect. Curriculum masterclass. Okay, I need to find that. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'll have to find where that core conflict is, and let me put it in my notes, and I'll let you know where that's going to be, because I think Betsy may have it hidden on another week. But I talked about core conflict. I didn't really go into core conflict on this module, did I? About the I didn't hear it.
The one you hit on was the trade show with grappling to attract leads. I think that's the closest you come to addressing that for the trade show market.
Okay, I know I have them. I have them for cruise ships. I have them for banquet halls. I have them for, let me look it up. Yeah, okay, cool. All right, any other questions? We're going to, what else do we want to do? Is anything else coming up for you guys that'll stop you from making progress this week? Stay with the homeworks. The ones the rest of this week get real deep. They keep pushing us to gather information, to practice our phone call technique. And then we're falling right into a five-step sales funnel next week where I show you, it's a long one. Let me see how long that module is. In fact, block this out.
Hey, Barry.
Yep.
I wanted to say that the completion helped me a lot on phone calls and cold calls because I found I can't stand rejection. Yeah. And the way that the perspective shifted from those phone calls made it so that it's not about me selling myself, but just finding out their problems and trying to solve their problems. So that helped me a lot. And I had a big shift in my head about that.
It sounds like you did the cleanup work before the phone call, before grabbing the phone, man.
Yeah, I haven't done the phone call yet, but I've done the completions that Bill Lamond and you guys talked about. And it was a big mind shift for me.
Oh, I'm so glad. Yeah. Good. Well, you see this one for next week is 2 hours. It's hour 58. And dig heavily into that as far as all five steps of the sales funnel. And you'll see, and then we'll be on this call next week and you'll see, here's kind of where I feel like I'm missing. And next week we'll just dig into those. If you're personally saying, I'm definitely missing this piece of it, we'll build it right here on this phone call for you. And then then everyone else who we're not building it for can just kind of say, that's what I need to do for mine. So I did check with each of you in the interview that you were at least comfortable doing basic drag and drop work. And that's all we're going to be doing when we build these little customized video introductions. So yay, they're going to be fun.
Hey, Barry, I noticed we're talking some of the sales funding stuff from this week. You mentioned using Gmail and Boomerang and some of those. Do you think is that the email platform we should look at, or should we look at Constant Contact or one of those, or does it matter?
So Mago is one that I really recommend. It was built by an entertainer for an entertainer who's also a brilliant programmer. It's been through five or six incarnations, and it's just rock solid at this point. It does exactly what we need. Yes, you can handle all of that with Gmail, with canned responses. I mean, you can go all the way back to doing it manually if you want. It's free. You turn on canned responses, use those emails that I put in the follow-up funnel this week.
The Mago will do all of that. I haven't seen everything with the Mago.
Oh, Mago, yeah, Mago Talent. It's under resources. You can take a look at that.
Mago is really cool because when you make an email template, you can plug in automatic information like the client's name and their event and the date of their event. So that's all pre-filled in the email. So you don't have to go back and correct anything. I think with the canned responses, Barry, this is true. With canned responses, it doesn't pre-fill any customized information.
Yeah. So, and Michael, this link hooks you up with a 6 months free or something. It's crazy. Michael, he's an alumni here and he made it basically free to just get in and test your business and make sure it works, that you understand it.
I just joined last night.
What's that? Last night?
Yeah. I joined Mago last night.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I did too. I'm excited about using it. Tom and everybody told me about it. I've seen it. And so I got it. Getting it going. I may need to have a little help on that, Tom, on our accountability call.
Oh, good, man. That's great. It's really solid. Cool. Does a great job for you.
Barry, we can
start another one because it's not the thing I'm doing. It's not for entertainers right now, but automation is a different level of playing. You don't have to be attached to everything. So
we can certainly reach out to people that we don't have a niche or connection with too as well, right?
We have to. No, have to look at every event coming to Chicago, Tim. I mean, honestly, just get in there with every single event coming to Chicago. And with that many in that kind of a city or, in Atlanta or wherever you guys are at, who have all these events coming there, oh my gosh, just start talking to the right person about the event. Use that line about, make this event more memorable. You don't have to have any connection to it. Yeah. I just started there in week one because it's low hanging fruit. It's really, we all have some connections to those people. Hey, Emery, good to see you, man. Class ended?
Yeah, I just got out 30 minutes ago. I popped on real quick.
Awesome. Cool, man. Good. All right. Well, now that Emery's here, we've nothing to talk about. We should go. No.
Dean. Oh, Dean. Are you the one who said that you did a cleaning hygiene thing for with the completion process before a cold call?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, it helped a lot. And you know, when I first heard that that talk by Bill Lamond, I thought, I don't know, this stuff sounds, I'm not sure if it's for me really. But then as I progressed through the work, I realized, wow, I had a lot of stuff happen on the inside, and it was pretty awesome for me.
So you listened to it a second time?
Oh yeah, definitely. In fact, this morning I did it on money. I think that was part of the homework, wasn't it? The completion on money and yep. How we look at the belief system about money as a few suggestions.
Dean, I went through that exact same thing in my head when I thought about even sharing him with the Showbiz Blooper community, that this is too airy-fairy, that it's soft skills. And you know what? I just said, screw it. You know, it's like it's stuff that, that got me out of such a mindset in my life that, I mean, I had a hook that haunted me for 45 years. You know, I could not let go of it. And literally in one completion, I've never thought about it again.
Yeah.
So for me, if it pisses a few people off or makes people think it's a, I don't care if it touches one or two people.
Yeah.
It's good. So I'd say dig into it. It's free and it was very expensive to take. I think.
Yeah.
How did you find this guy? Because his presence, you know, is.
He's got no web presence. He's not a web guy. He's a, he does executive coaching at Microsoft. I learned about him through a connection I had up there. He's actually has an ongoing retainer account with Microsoft to coach every female exec manager at Microsoft. He's doing great stuff, and he just did a private group that was offered to a handful of us. It was expensive and worth every penny. So anyway, he liked me. He jumped on and talked to us once. But he lives down by you, though, Dean. He's an interesting dude. If you ever want to reach out to him online, he's in Palm Springs, I think. So, well, cool. All right. Anything else pressing? Anything else we can handle online? I know we peaked 2 hours today, which is a miracle.
So Barry, should I talk to you separately or about how I should move forward with this guy or?
Yeah. What I'm going to do is I've heard the phone call, post that phone call up if you'd like. And if you don't, just say, I'm not going to post it for right now. And I'm going to put my response right on the Facebook group for you.
Oh, so I should just post the call on the Facebook page?
Yeah. Just put the MP3 up there if you want.
Okay.
You cool with that?
I'm totally cool with it.
Cool.
That would be awesome.
It'll be a good listening experience for everybody.
We could all do that.
What did you use to record the call?
I put my phone on speaker, and then I used GarageBand.
Right on.
Not ideal, but it's a little echoey. But
if you have an iPhone, there's a program called Record a Call that I've used, and I believe it's free.
But then you have to. I think that goes through a server on theirs, and it can the calls
to dial a third party, a third number.
But the way I do it is use Screencastify, which is a Chrome extension. But I'm not using my regular phone. There's a couple different ways, but
Record
a call.
I think on a hard line you can just hook it through your computer and audio record. But I don't know. I just put it on speaker and.
I really appreciated that. Greg told me he was getting ready to talk to the guy, and I said, hey, man, if you don't mind, throw a recorder on. I'll critique, and I'll tell you the way to handle it. And it was better than I imagined, so it was really good. So, yeah.
I like to be on the phone. I try to get away from email as quickly as possible because I feel like sometimes, especially like with my old way of giving my prices, I'm trying to get away from it. But it can – I don't know. You can't – When you're emailing or texting or whatever, tone comes across differently. And I feel like sometimes I sound like a dick when I'm emailing or writing. But when I talk to somebody, I can be a little more nuanced and not think that they think that I'm an asshole.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah, no doubt.
So,
great. Barry, I threw a little scenario on the group last night. I don't know if you saw it. It was just a little lead that came in through somebody looking for a magician on Facebook, and I just thought I would try to apply some of this stuff, but I couldn't.
Awesome. I didn't see that, Tim. I'll go check after this.
Yeah, it's a company. I can't tell what it is. Maybe a picnic or something. So I don't care whether I get it or not, but I just was trying to apply some of this, but trying to get the guy on the phone. You'll see. I don't know. I would love your input on that if you have a time to look at it.
Oh, yeah. No, I'll be jumping into that after this, just my other stuff this morning. But, yeah, this is good. I doubled up this morning on the elliptical and listened to the module on 2x speed, so I'd be up on everything. That was good. Well, good, you guys. I will sign out. And
you listen to your own module.
Oh, my gosh, every week before we talk, yeah, so I can be up on it. Yeah.
So where will you have the notes on that, that we can see from that you – is it on a link?
Hopefully you guys are tuned into this, like week one. It'll be on this week one live Q&A replay.
Okay, on the note. Okay. Cool.
And even like last week's, I'm sure I put a link. I pretty much always do it the same way because it makes it easy to find what we're looking for here. I hope I did. There's the replay, download. Yeah, my prep and notes on the Q&A.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
Sarah's link to the – oh, yeah, that's right. That was the one that Sarah was talking about, Upwork. So, good. All right, everybody. Anything else? I promise you, use that group for questions, for comments, for your path that you're going on, where you feel stuck. Everything you type in there helps everybody else. And who had a good day? Did we have a good day today? Did we learn something? Are we going to take some action?
Yes.
All right. Action, man.
Yes.
I'm going to give an award to the person who collects the most nose. You know, so keep trying. I got nose. I'll be like, you know, get 100 no's and we'll come to a mastermind weekend in California, man. It would just be, I would love that. It's all really just about testing and trying and getting, realizing it's never about you. Everyone read The Four Agreements? That great little book? Yeah, what a book,
yep, man.
That book should be a guidebook for our business, you know?
Oh, I started The Greatest Gift in the World, The Greatest Secret.
You started the Ogmandino book.
Yeah, I broke the news to my wife last night that she's going to be hearing this every night.
That's awesome, man. I started week three yesterday. My wife and I were joking. Wow. We were joking that we can't wait till two more weeks so we can actually read some new words of the book. Yeah.
Pretty cool. Pretty cool.
Good for you, Greg. That's awesome. Yeah. All right, everybody.
Just doing a lot of things this month.
What's that? Right.
I said I'm just releasing this month and trying things that I wouldn't normally do. So
sweet, man. Ah, so good. All right. Okay, everybody. Have a great week. I'll look for you in the group and I'll go check everyone out.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye bye.
Thanks. Bye bye.
Bye everyone.
Bye everyone.
Bye guys.
Bye.
Bye.